Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome.
Here we are.
All right. Sounds like you guys are on.
Well, we've had a little fun trying to get on the Skype, but we're going to go ahead and do it with the telephone here until we figure this out.
All right.
So I'm just going to go ahead and launch. This is Nemenha Radio, and I am Philip Cloud Pilot Landis, and I am co-hosted here with Jonathan Willamutkin Landis, and this will be our first show that we are presenting, and we're going to be talking about some of the things that we're doing here in Springfield that we would like to get really going around the country. I'd like to use Springfield as our launch pad and some ideas of what we have planned and what we are mobilizing here. We are really interested in restoring the sacred in natural medicine, and excited to have Ignacio Garcia helping us out here. He is the expert, and so that means that we are about to become experts at this new media. Some of the things that we are focusing on. Am I doing this good?
You're doing great. I'm here.
Okay, you're here helping us out. Natural medicine here it's kind of a funny thing here in Springfield. When you talk about natural medicine here down in southwestern Missouri, for example, people don't know what you're talking about, really.
Yeah.
I mean, this place is kind of a desert when it comes to natural medicine. You have this whole idea of holism, and, you know, when you talk holism here in Missouri, you know, people are automatically thinking homeopathy. Well, homeopathy is one modality in natural medicine, and that's for sure. But when we talk to people about a compounding apothecary, for example, and how incredible it is to have that opportunity in Springfield, Missouri, they don't know what we're talking about. We have to actually explain to them what a compounding apothecary is. So, Jonathan, would you for a second give us your understanding of what a compounding apothecary is?
Traditionally, as an apothecary, would have been the place where any of the doctors or the healers went to for complicated, customized medicines they either didn't have the know-how to make themselves or didn't have the time to make themselves, to fill their satchels, fill their packs, and take with them to the homes that needed it.
Well, that's right. They went. That's a key issue there. They went from home to home to home. When my grandmother was an apothecary and a midwife in the late 19th century, early 20th century, and I mean really early 20th century, there were six doctors in their region, in the Teton region, and they got all of their medicines. Everything they took to a person's home or on their rounds, they got from five or six different herbalists who went out in the hills or in the fields, found the stuff, and made the medicines. There were no pharmaceutical companies. There were, you know, and the stuff that was made by, I guess, the analog of today's pharmaceutical companies were fairly scary stuff. And if you were smart, you probably didn't use those. But what they carried around in their medicine bags were bottles. You see this in movies and things like that. Scary-looking stuff in glass bottles with corks. And they'd open the bag and they'd have these instruments in there, certainly diagnostic tools mainly, and a little bit of an emergency surgical kit, probably just for suturing and that sort of thing. But then they'd have these bottles of liquids. This was the work of the apothecary. The apothecary provided medicines for the doctors. And then when they got to the home, they had certain half a dozen base materials that were for specific purposes. And they customized with tinctures right there in the home for the individual illness. You don't find that in natural medicine. About the closest you come to is the traditional Chinese medicine herb shop, where they will formulate the herbs that you need, but it's all based in traditional Chinese medicine. Well, what about for the Western-style medicine or indigenous Indian medicine, that sort of thing? If you don't follow the traditional Chinese medicine, you will not find an apothecary. Now, the term apothecary is used out there, but it's not by the definition of natural medicine. The apothecary's measure is what the pharmacist uses. And so usually when you see the term apothecary, you're talking pharmacy, right?
Yeah.
What we're doing here in Springfield is kind of exciting, and it's something that we want to begin building all around the country, and that is the idea of a compounding apothecary, where someone comes in, say, for example, today. We have a family that came in today. They, you know, they have individual needs and a family need. An apothecary can sit down with them and work out the individual needs and the family need overall, use the right bases, but absolutely custom tailor-make the medicine for the individuals. When you go into what do they call them, certified natural health care practitioner here, I guess or a CNHP is what the acronym is. When you go into one of those today, you tell them what's going on with you, and they turn around and they reach up on the shelf and they pull down whatever bottle has a label on it that kind of sounds like what you're suffering with, because they're made by corporate manufacturers. And the corporate manufacturer cannot think of anybody as an individual. They have to, for the sake of the bottom line, don't they? They have to take the sacred out of it. They have to take the individual out of the picture. So you turn around, you reach up, or someone comes in and has, say, for example, a stomach ulcer. Your only recourse when you're a Missouri-style natural healer is to turn around to your shelf of products or look in your brochure or your catalog or get on the internet and buy a product that sounds like it would be quote-unquote good for, quote-unquote, the particular ailment, right? Isn't that how people learn how to be herbalists now?
Yeah.
Arnica is good for broken bones. I can't tell you how many times I've had to warn herbalists not to give people arnica, because they don't know that arnica is a deadly poison. It has to be given topically, and there I've actually had herbalists in the state of Missouri who are, you know, uneducated enough. I'm not going to say unintelligent enough, because that would be ungenerous, right? But uneducated enough to know that they're potentially going to be suggesting that somebody take something that might kill them.
Or that lack the training or the competence in herbology and homeopathy to be able to tell the difference between herbal arnica preparations and homeopathic arnica preparations.
Precisely, a homeopathic preparation. Of course, you know, everything natural medicine in Missouri is homeopathic, because that's the only word that people know out here. A homeopathic doesn't have even one molecular weight of the original poison in it. That's homeopathic. It's the energy signature that's left in the carrier material that triggers your body to do what it would do if you took the poison. And so, therefore, there's some intrinsic healing that goes on. The body knows a thing or two. What if you want to use, for example, for a broken bone, what if you want to use something that you swallow to help build the bones? You know, that would be something that would be custom. You could turn to your shelf, if you're a pill pusher type natural practitioner, and reach up for your bone formula and trust to the manufacturer. Trust that your manufacturer has made a product that is general for all bones and all people. You know, like, we're all cookie cutter people. We're not humans. We're little sugar cane candy men, all cut out with the same little form, stuck in the oven at the same temperature and brought out at the same time and iced with the same icing and sprinkled with the same, you know, I could go on and on ad nauseum. We are not cookie-cutter people. And so the whole idea with the compounding apothecary is to train real competent practitioners to be able to see and know what is going on with the individual, and then make the medicine right there for them that is individualized, that's custom. What kind of reaction are we getting so far? I mean, well, we've been at this about a month. What kind of reaction are you seeing in Springfield, Jonathan?
Shock and awe.
Yeah,
I haven't seen this before.
Well, what's interesting is, You start to talk about a compounding apothecary in natural medicine, and you don't expect to get the deer in the headlights look. You don't. You know, they look at you and you think you've just grown two heads or something because they don't know what you're talking about. The herbalist in probably all over the Midwest is trained to read books that say that the herb, specific herb A, is good for or works for or is used for to treat disease or condition or malady A. No concentration is really given to the mechanisms of action. If an herbalist or natural practitioner of any kind fails, absolutely fails, in their responsibility to understand the body, its workings, and understand the plants and their mechanisms of action, then I don't think they have the right, really, to call themselves natural healthcare practitioners.
Well, a good example that we have here locally is a product that I've seen on the shelf here that is for digestion, digestive aid, indigestion. It's not an enzyme digestion aid. It's digestive support. And I was looking at the ingredients and the individual herbs on this formula that the company was using, and there wasn't a single carminative. There wasn't a single digestive aid herb in the whole mixture. What I did find was a combination of liver and kidney cleanse herbs.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all in the bottle for digestive aid. Liver and kidney cleansing herbs. We're not talking about toning herbs. We're not talking about support herbs. We're talking about cleansing, as in stripping the interior cell walls of those particular organs in a bottle that said for digestion.
Well, you know, that's something that people don't understand out there, and least of all, most of your natural healthcare practitioners. In fact, I don't know of naturopaths, very many of them, very, very few naturopaths in my acquaintance know the difference between a toning and a cleansing herb. It's, as you say, the cleansing herbs, no matter what they are, those cleansing herbs cause your body to remove dead or damaged cells. And so if that's happening in the liver, you need to understand that the liver is actually replacing itself, but only because you caused inflammation on a minor degree in the liver.
There's that word.
Inflammation word, because it's all about inflammation, right? Well, when you cause with an herb a minor inflammation in the liver, that inflammation triggers an attack focus of immune cells to the liver. And many of the motile immune cells, for example, have the responsibility of fundamentally bringing about cellular regeneration of cells that can still regenerate and a trigger to produce new cells and slough the old cells that can't regenerate. People don't know that. Toning the liver is what you take when you need a liver protectant, something to protect the liver from substances that tend to do harm, or to strengthen cells that are already there. Cleansing the liver is, as you say, a stripping of cells that are no longer functional. Don't understand. So as a digestive aid, I get back to that example. What a great example, because as a digestive aid, how are you aiding digestion? Let's try to logic it out. As a digestive aid, how is stripping the liver any help to digestion?
The logic doesn't go that deep. The popular logic only goes as far as you influence the liver, which produces more bile, to aid in digestion. That's as far as that rationale goes.
Okay, so what they're saying is that all so-called quote-unquote, and I'm learning to use the air quotes here, quote-unquote liver herbs that are good for the liver automatically are good for the digestion because they produce digestive fluids, right? So let's go to the mechanism of action. Now let's say that they're right. Let's give them the bow there. Okay, I'll follow that. Yeah, if I have more of the digestive enzymes and fluids flowing into my small intestine, then my digestion is going to be better, right?
Do I have to comment?
Yeah, you do. You're sitting across the desk. You have to comment. Isn't that automatically so? Well, not really, because if we're taking a digestive, by definition, what we're trying to do is aid the stomach in that portion of digestion, not the bowel in its portion of digestion. So aiding the stomach involves hydrochloric acid. Now, let's go to mechanism of action there and a little bit of anatomy and physiology. The stomach is a great mixing bowl, and it is the first. First of all, you break things into smaller pieces by chewing. I hope people break things into smaller pieces by chewing, although I have been to barbecues here in Missouri, and, man, I got to wonder if people are chewing at all, right?
Great Grandma Dilworth always said, chew your food 10 times before swallowing.
Again, I remember saying 21, but, you know, I tried the whole 21 thing, and, man, when you're eating a juicy barbecued rib right off the – no, they're not. I mean, it's rip that sucker off the bone and swallow. I don't know what the deal is, but, man, oh, man. Hopefully you are breaking things down, first of all, by chewing, but when it gets down into the stomach has a rather muscular activity combined with – hydrochloric acid, in not a very high concentration, by the way. This is not really very acidic acid. You can burp this acid up into your esophagus, and you'll get a minor burning, something like really acidic orange juice might do. Not something definitely that's going to cause much damage unless you do it over and over and over again. But see, this acid tends to begin to break things apart into smaller pieces and mix them and homogenize them thoroughly. If you've eaten a Big Mac hamburger and you've chewed it really well and you swallow it, you give it not enough time to transit through the stomach, and then but long enough to be in there and really mix, and you throw that up, I think that you'll agree that that's a lot different than when you ate it.
Hopefully.
A lot different. You put that in a beaker and you look at that and, you know, there's no branding left on that Big Mac. That's the point of the stomach. Now, a lot of times, however, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen effectively. And when that doesn't happen effectively, the whole breaking down and the homogenization and the thorough mixing with the acid, the transit time through the stomach is really slowed down. Because your body knows that it can't, it really shouldn't go through out of the stomach and begin its movement through the small intestine until we have a minimum activity achieved. And there are sensors in the stomach to prevent the food from actually leaving the stomach until that minimum amount of activity has taken place. You know, your body is an amazing chemistry set and kind of knows a lot about what's going on. So that's what happens when we eat and we have indigestion. So a digestive aid, ideally, should be helping the stomach with the stomach's part of this. That's where we have indigestion. Indigestion happens in the stomach. So what would you put in a digestive? As an apothecary, what would you stick in a digestive to really aid the stomach's ability?
I would put in a mixture with some food-based medicines loaded with proenzyme components to assist with digestion. If digestion is a little acidic, you'd want to put something with some solute minerals with the proenzymes. We're talking about green leafy vegetables, fruits, different things, food-based, because that's what our stomach relies on, loaded with the natural enzymes and solute minerals to keep things in balance and also give it the building blocks it needs to produce the enzymes that are necessary.
You make a really good point there, the building blocks that are needed. One of the biggest problems with digestion is that we throw things into the stomach that was never really designed to be there. So now we're asking the stomach, here, I want you to, you know, throw this 5% acid at this stuff that I know you're not going to recognize as food. And it's got to mix properly and it's got to break down, but I know you're going to, you know, this isn't food. I know it isn't food, but you've got to do something with it. Very often that's the problem. We're not made to eat huge amounts of fatty meat, for example. I love it, okay, I'm going to admit it. Oh, my gosh, there's nothing better than the perfect cooked medium-rare steak, right?
Speaking of pizza.
you know, we're made to eat a certain amount of stuff like this, but the amount that Americans eat, we simply are not made to handle that kind of stuff. It just doesn't work. And so there it sits. Now, here's an interesting thing. The acid in the stomach doesn't necessarily kill the living organisms in our body or the living organisms that are in the food. So fermentation does actually begin. But very often we haven't provided our body with the building blocks of even the hydrochloric acid that's required to thoroughly mix this junk we call food. So, you know, you hear about people who, in order to maintain a low-sodium diet, which evidently is necessary to not have a heart attack, I mean, you know, you have a heart attack because you're eating too much sodium, and so you stop taking salt of any kind, when really the sodium you should be cutting out is the sodium that you have to read a label to find, because it's the added sodium in all this crazy stuff you eat, we eat, that isn't actually food. So people stop eating salt thinking that they're cutting back on sodium, because salt, everyone knows, is sodium chloride. But what they don't realize is that, again, it isn't the sodium in the salt that is the problem. It's the sodium that's added, and that's not sodium chloride. It's sodium this and it's sodium that. So they're not only getting the wrong sodium, we're not getting enough sodium, but they're also not getting the chlorine. Now, chlorine, everybody knows, is only good for cleaning the bathroom, right? Or putting in your swimming pool to keep you from getting cholera from your neighbors who come and swim in your pool with you. Wrong. Chlorine in our diet is one of those building blocks, because without it, we cannot create hydrochloric acid. If we don't have chlorine in our diet to a certain degree, such as in green leafy vegetables and, you know, good solid food instead of the Big Mac. Although there's some lettuce in there, kind of. We won't even go there. Franken lettuce is in there. We're not making hydrochloric acid, and yet we're still throwing this stuff at our bellies, our stomachs, saying, here, mix this, properly process it so that it can now go into the small intestine, and then... It, you know, that's where all the digestion happens, I guess, right? Well, a lot does happen there, but you have to prepare the way. Otherwise, it's going to stay in your stomach, and your stomach is going to want to throw it up. First of all, let's be honest, it wasn't food to begin with. Now you're not giving yourself the building blocks because you're afraid of having a heart attack. Heaven forbid, you should stop eating the Big Mac and eat more vegetables to not have the heart attack. You're going to stop putting salt on anything. And that's going to keep you from having a heart attack because your doctor said so, and the commercials repeat your doctor every 5 seconds. Well, without hydrochloric acid, it doesn't matter what you put in your stomach. It's not going to digest properly. So, yeah, an apothecary would build something for you to swallow that replaces or gives you the building blocks to create the materials you need to properly process and manage the stuff.
Apothecaries also know the difference between which kinds of digestive aids may be necessary. The ones loaded with proenzymes and solid minerals to aid in the production of digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid, and those that help mitigate the effects of excessive hydrochloric acid as a product of eating very difficult to digest food.
Exactly, exactly.
There's a big difference in the methods in formulation, a big difference in the methods in treatment. One, you want to load up on certain kinds of medicines. The other one has to focus on protecting the stomach lining, which suffers from excessive acid production.
Now, so here's a thing that really bugs me. I talk to people who have been to their six to 12 weekend seminars and are now certified natural health care practitioners in the state of Missouri. And they don't have to know how the body works, really. They can have essentials of this and fundamentals of that, an introduction to this and that, and not really obtain any balanced education or competence, because their degree program, their certification, tells them what companies are selling what herbs and supplements that are good for what conditions and sicknesses. And you see where I'm going with that.
they're not taught how the body works. So how could they possibly ferret out the mechanisms of action in an herb?
Frankly, that's just not good enough for Nemenha apothecaries.
For Nemenha apothecaries, we have to focus on mechanisms of action. And to us, that's part and parcel to returning or restoring the sacred in natural medicine. Natural medicine is something that is very religious to us. It's our religion. And practitioners of natural medicine have always bowed to the idea that healing is not just a physical thing, but it is also a spiritual, a mental, obviously, because you got to think about it, but also a spiritual issue. If you're not seeing to all three of those, then, you're really not in natural medicine at all. You're not invested in the overall idea, are you? So if you're seeing to the physical healing and the mental healing, then you're covering a couple of the bases. But if you are not even bowing to that which is spiritual, there's nothing holistic in your approach. So I remember back in when I was obtaining my doctorate in naturopathic medicine years and years ago, I remember lamenting that, I learned all kinds of stuff about a real concentration on how the body worked, how the herbs worked, how the minerals worked, mm-hmm. how the this and the that, the body work and the energy and the this and the that, hot, cold, wet, dry, But
the stuff we teach.
Yeah, we teach this stuff. We work with this stuff every single day, but there was hardly anything on the spiritual nature of healing. Mm-hmm. There was no sacred in it at all. It was like complete lip service. But healers, every single one of the healers that are doing an excellent job, and they know it because people come back to them and they also get well. It's kind of a dead giveaway when someone comes to you and they go away well, they get well. Healers that ignore the spiritual, none of these healers that are doing well ever ignore the spiritual. And this is what it means to bring the sacred back. Healers, the natural practitioner has bought into corporate supplementation. Corporations cannot look at the sacred in healing because it must be the bottom line. So to be honest with you, I don't see the compounding apothecary as anything that will make anybody millions and millions and millions of dollars.
No.
It's not really built that way, but it is designed to help natural healers make an honest living doing something that is sacred for them. We should probably mention that we are on the air, and this is part of the In With Insights radio family, and we want to acknowledge again Ignacio Garcia. What a great helper he is for us. He's our producer and our mentor.
Mentor, yeah.
Yeah. So with insights,
I'm your mentor.
Yeah, you are a mentor, Ignacio. It feels good to have a mentor, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know how it feels for you to be a mentor, but for me, to have somebody who has your kind of experience and background in this, kind of sit in the back and make sure we don't make horrible errors, is a good thing. But I want to acknowledge again with insights. To be honest with you, I have to say that I would not be doing this. I would not be coming on a media like this and experimenting this way if it hadn't been for With Insights, because they do a really good job. Ignacio, he's just amazing. I remember that. I remember the episode, the first episode I saw with Ignacio was the honey badger episode.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
I don't even remember.
You talk about restoring the sacred and healing. I can't tell you the healing that took place in me. I just can't even hardly express how healing that was for me in that moment to sit there and have that be my first experience with Iggy Garcia on With Insights Radio. I mean, I don't know. Do you remember the honey badger?
Oh yeah.
So oh my gosh,
unforgettable,
unbelievably.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's probably been a while since you've run that one, or you probably haven't. But
I have to go back in time.
Yeah, it does go back in time. When I get, you know, kind of burdened with everything that's happening in my life, I go to the honey badger. And, I mean, I think I saw the short version. How long do you go on in that?
You're talking about the one I'm laughing in, the laughing one.
Yeah, that's the laughing one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that. I go for a pretty good long time there. That's that laughing yoga.
You know, it's how many?
9 3/4 minutes.
I got to tell you.
You just started.
I don't even remember. I don't remember who told me about that. So I think it was Gozal Kapa.
Yeah.
It was Gozal Kapa. She sends me an email, and she says, you want a healing moment? Do this. And I keyed it into my computer. It was the old computer, and Iggy comes on. And I've known Iggy for a while, you know, and he's just his – Iggy's medicine, a lot – aside from profound wisdom – there is an element of humor in that is so healing in what this shaman does. But anyway, I get out there and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be one of those dumb things. You know, my logical mind gets on there, and I rely on my logical mind. I'm going to be honest about that. My ego mind gets on there, but my ego mind tends to be judgmental. And it's, oh, this is going to last about, oh, maybe 40 seconds. And I was determined not to even crack a smile. I was determined to be sick in my head and my heart and pass judgment on this. And then I started to giggle a little bit. And then all of a sudden I surprised myself. I found myself laughing. You know, ha, 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 ha. I'll tell you what, by the end of that 9 minutes, I thought I was going to die. I had cleansed the tension out of my entire body. And to me, it has been an example for me of some of the elements of healing that you just can't reach behind you on the shelf and pull, you know, corporate laughing remedy or laughing formula off the shelf. I needed that. That was what I needed in that moment for healing, and there's no way that any corporation is going to be able to extract that, you know, and put that in a pill and give that to me. That is what the compounding apothecary does, is the compounding apothecary has connection with every single individual. And that's healing. That is part of the healing process we're trying to restore here in Springfield, Missouri.
That's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate that.
We'll take a short break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back. You're listening to WithInsidesRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsidesRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsides Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsidesRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsidesRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Hey, we're back. We are back.
We are back with Lemon Har Radio. You're here today with Philip Klopauer Landis and Jonathan Wilmatakin Landis. And let's get back to the show.
That was awesome. What does Wilmatakin mean? What is this Wilmatakin? Where did this come from?
Well, as far as I know, it's the name of a river.
Well, the Willamette, yeah. Part of the name is from the Willamette, but it means the land between the Willamette and the Blue Mountains.
which is out in the northwest where you come from. Wellamutkin.
The nickname, anyway.
Yeah, that's the nickname. We have no idea what the whole name is. You know what? To my mind, we have this little flyer that sits out in front of our office here in Springfield, and I got to looking at it, and, you know, it seems to me that natural practitioners don't tend anymore to have an idea of what the whole body is about. They're really trained, like some of our neighbors here that we've actually had a chance to watch and observe in their practice. They're trained and they stay well within what they have the materials to work with. It's like a script. They can't do natural medicine the way it should be done because not all things are within their script. They don't have something on their shelf for everybody. Let me just kind of take a look at this. A holistic practitioner, someone who is really, seeing people, has to be, and offering natural medicine, has to be able to cover some pretty important bases. And here's just a few of them that we cover as a compounding apothecary, as a naturopath, as a physiopath, such as yourself, and body workers and energy workers and in our office here. We focus on things like metabolic factors, such as nutritional imbalances, metabolic transit rate, free radical stress, and inflammatory markers, immune surveillance factors, actual state of natural defense, leukocyte population, motility, viability, allergy markers, adrenal factors. Big thing in this area is adrenal stress, adrenal fatigue. But, you know, who do you talk to who really knows any more than just the catchphrase, what is adrenal fatigue?
Mm-hmm. We're not talking about labels on a bottle here.
Right. I'm not interested in a bottle that says adrenal formula or, you know, ads or some dumb thing like that. We're talking about adrenal factors such as oxidative stress factors again, fight or flight hormone load,
right,
the chronic stress syndrome, this kind of stuff. Some other important observations that we make are physiostructural alignment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, physiostructural alignment, what the heck? You know, bones and joint formula, muscles, bones, and joint formula, I guess that does it.
Not going to cut it.
No.
Sorry.
No. Balance and range of motion. The bottle, the red one on the right, range of motion formula.
Standard Cross.
Yeah, there you go. Physical and metabolic stresses, presence of heavy metals and chemical toxins, cardiolipidemic profile, leaky gut, other metabolic disorders, and physio-spiritual issues. Well, let's go back to the top, for example. How does a practitioner really get at the possibility, or how does a person actually identify which nutritional imbalance you may have? How does a practitioner get at a nutritional imbalance?
Are we talking about genuine techniques or popular workarounds?
Well, let's not do the popular workarounds. They're pretty common. But you, for example, how do you get at a nutritional imbalance? How do you know if somebody has one?
First, I'm going to ask them what their symptoms are.
The interview.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you interview a person, first of all, their symptoms. Well, I go through and I want to know what their diagnosed diseases are.
Medical history first.
You know, because that's going to tell us what the road that they have taken, right? And then I want to know what drugs they have to be taking, which ones they've taken in the past, because you sure don't want to give them suggest something that might interact.
Right, yeah.
But that understands that you know what supplements will interact with what.
First problem.
Yeah, that understands, that comprehends the idea that you know how to find out what might interact. But, you know, the certified natural health care practitioner in Missouri doesn't have to know that because everybody knows that herbs and vitamins and other nutritional supplements can't hurt you.
Don't forget homeopath.
And well, sure, none of these things can hurt you. None of them, there's all herbs are good for you. You can't overdose on these things, can you? You can, and lots of people do, especially those that are self-medicating. So we also want to, in the interview, we try to find out what supplements they're taking. And here's the interesting thing. Little old lady comes to me, and she is sick. She is tired. Everything seems to be breaking. And I say little old lady. She was an elderly lady in her early 80s. But by the same token, she came from a family that lived well into the late 90s and, you know, early 100s. Mm-hmm. So she was upset because she was not, it didn't look like her, look to her like she was going to make it like the rest of her brothers and sisters were making it. She was ill. She was tired. She didn't really have much in terms of diagnosed disease, but you could tell that she was, just by the conversation on the telephone, that she was really struggling. So I asked her, would you come in the office and bring all your supplements that you're taking and all your medicines, your supplements, and kind of a list of a hypothetical day in terms of the food that you eat, and so that we can be prepared for the interview. And oh, sure, I'll do that. You're so thoughtful. And so we made the appointment, and she comes in, and she's got two big shopping bags, one in each hand. And I open the door for her. She comes in and she puts them down on the table.
That makes my gut hurt just thinking about it.
And yeah, and she turns around and goes back out the car. And she gets two more bags, a shopping bag. And I thought, oh, she went to the grocery store and she's bringing in her groceries to show me what she's going to eat for the coming week. Well, you know, I did ask her to kind of bring a sort of a hypothetical diet to see what she was eating. Oh, that wasn't what it was, because when she started bringing all these things out on the table, they were all food supplements. They were vitamins. They were herbs. They were minerals. There was a lot of digestive enzymes, tons and tons of different digestive enzymes. Somebody had really sold her lots and lots of things. And so what I had her do was take out her daily dose. This is one thing to take a supplement, and you swallow it, and you drink some water, and you don't think about it. But this poor lady, by the time she had pulled out all of her daily doses, I'm surprised she was eating any food at all.
She probably wasn't.
She likely wasn't. We didn't even get to that. We didn't even get to where she had all the stuff on the table, because in my little table, there wasn't room enough. There literally wasn't room enough. And so my next question in the interview was, well, how often are you having bowel movements? Can we say that on the radio? I'm looking at the list of things we're like, bowel movements. See, I said it. What a miracle. She wasn't. She hadn't had a normal bowel movement without help from a laxative in years, she said. Years and years and years. That's a nutritional imbalance, right? And the imbalance is what she was swallowing, not what she wasn't, mm-hmm. right? So understanding that, you know, I just can't seem to get the nutrition I need. I don't have any appetite. Well, no wonder. No wonder. We took all the stuff out of the capsules and put the capsules in a bowl and filled up a cereal bowl. So then I took a little warm water, and I poured it into the cereal bowl, and we continued to have our conversation. By the time we got finished with the interview, the warm water had made all the capsules kind of goopy and slimy and nasty, and so I pushed it over to her, and I said, with a spoon, and I said, now I want you to eat this.
You're so nice.
We've had a long interview, we've had a long conversation, and I want you to eat this soup. And she looked at me like I had lost my mind. Like I had grown two heads or something. What? What are you talking about? I said, well, wait a minute, this should give you no pause at all. You should not have a problem with this, because you're doing this every day anyway, right? She looked at it, and it was like the realization dawned on her. That's how much gelatin alone she was taking. She was taking that much, a whole cereal bowl of gelatin every day.
Which means it probably wasn't gelatin. It was something like hypromose.
Well, vegetable gelatin, because, you know, everybody knows that vegetable gelatin is better than animal-based gelatin, right? Everyone knows this. It would have to be so, wouldn't it? What do you mean hypromose? What are you talking about? What's hypromose?
That means synthetic industrial waste.
What?
Pharmaceutical waste product, byproduct.
Pharmaceutical.
So a major ingredient in tile adhesives and contact lenses?
highly sensitive in contact lenses, vegetable gelatin, but it's gluten-free. Next time.
You can use it to glue your tile to the subfloor, but it's gluten-free, right? I'm not sure that has anything to do with it. Nutritional imbalance. The old-fashioned interview is one of the most important items, the old-fashioned interview. But the trouble with the old-fashioned interview is it understands. It relies upon the fact that you know how the body works, and you know how the materials that we have to work with function, mechanisms of action.
An interview don't do any good if you don't know the questions to ask.
Right, right. And if you don't know the questions to ask. A practitioner recently commented, knew that the individual had a type of leukemia, lymphoblastic leukemia, and did her intuitive thing and decided that she has degenerative cells in her lymph nodes and has no understanding of the anatomy and the physiology, let alone, of, at least of all, of leukemia, definitely not of lymphoblastic leukemia.
Right.
The workings of the body were a mystery to her, but because she had enough attention span, a long enough attention span to get the lymph part of lymphoblastic, that's all she needed. That's the kind of competence that we have in industry.
She wasn't, this particular practitioner, because she is a practitioner, wasn't even using intuitive skills of any kind. She was plugging someone into a biomeridian feedback machine.
And the machine said,
breast cancer.
Breast cancer and degenerative cells in the lymph.
Yep.
Whatever the heck that means. You don't have to know anything anymore, evidently, especially if you're working with herbs, because it doesn't matter. The herbs can't hurt you anyway, right? You can make a mistake and not harm anybody. Wrong.
Very,
very, very wrong, which is evidenced by this sweet elderly lady. But when she got off all the garbage that she was eating and went to food again, real food, not corporate food, but real food, mostly plant and not too much, when she got back to that, almost immediately she had a bowel movement. I thought she, you know, she called me on the telephone. And I thought she was going to die of shock on the telephone because and she went on and on describing the bowel movement. Sometimes there's just a little too much information given over the telephone, I think. I mean, I'm glad to hear, as a naturopath, I'm glad to hear that she, for the first time in 24 years, had a bowel movement without a laxative, but I didn't need to know size, texture, duration, color, you know. But it was that exciting to her.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that happened. Her energy almost immediately came back. Within a week, she was down to the club taking water aerobics and doing all the things that she normally did again. Nutritional imbalance, how do we find out a person has a nutritional imbalance? We find out what their nutrition is.
Mm-hmm.
We find out everything about what goes in their mouth, what doesn't go in their mouth, and why. That's number one. You cannot go after a metabolic factor. You can't even look at a metabolic factor. You can't even pronounce metabolic factor without looking at the diet. And you know nothing about the diet without the interview. Now, if you're a pill pusher, you want to push as many people through your office as you possibly can because all you're making money on.
Or if you're a promoter of fad diets.
Fad diets, or if you're a multi-leveler or something like that. You got to push people like they're cattle through the feedlot because it's the only way you're going to make a living. The only way you're going to make a living. What the heck was that? Cattle through the feedlot. Somebody just died on a radio show.
The honey badger has struck.
Wow. I'm unbelievably accurate. You can't, you know, that is the way most natural healthcare practitioners today function. I was talking to a naturopath up north of us, up near the Great Lakes, and kind of trying to talk about getting back to the good old-fashioned apothecary principles, making our medicines again.
Yes. And my goodness, this naturopath did not have time to even talk about it. And the reason she didn't have time to talk about it was because she's keyed in. She is plugged into corporate supplements, and the only way she will make a living with corporate supplements is to push people like cattle through the feedlot. And that is something that I really am offended by, and something that we're trying to fix here in the Springfield, in our office here in Springfield, but also it's what the college is teaching. University of Nemenha has now developed a curriculum that teaches old-style apothecary principles like this. And they can, anybody who has an interest in old-style apothecary principles, and the kinds of things that we're talking about, the kinds of things we're going to continue to talk about until we are suffocating from it, so we're blue in the face and can't find anything else to say, that's what we're going to focus on, is apothecary, old-style apothecary healing practices where the practitioner has to stop, know the individual, know the diseases, know the way the body's supposed to function, understand why it's functioning the way it is, and then make something to help. Not just lean back in their chair like mom said, you know, my band teacher always told me not to lean back in the chair. Lean back in the chair and reach for something off the shelf to hand to somebody. Here, eat this mud pie, you will feel better. Yeah, it's brown in that capsule. That's about all I know about it. Brown or green. It's good for you. It'll help.
Hey, the stuff I made today was brown.
Yeah, but you know why it's brown, right?
I do, yes.
Yeah, you know what it's going to do, and you know why it's going to be good, and you know the reaction you're going to get next week when you see her. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing stuff. University of Nemenha has found, how do you even find out about this, Jonathan?
www.uninem.org. UNINEM.org. We have our syllabus up online and lots of contact information. Best way to find out is just to ask.
Just ask. www.uninem.org is the university that stands for University of Nemenha, uninem.org. You can also go to nemenha.org, www.nemenha.org. That is our overall website. And there's some buttons that will point you right over to the university. Now, the university trains ministers of healing. And we're so serious about this, we are taking it completely out of the whole idea of having parity with the medical profession and bringing it back into what it really ought to be. Understanding the body, understanding the mind, and really paying homage to the spiritual nature of healing. Getting back to what is right, getting back to what is sacred in healing. So, Jonathan, you are the president of the university. Give us an idea of how easy it is, because we have just a few minutes left, how easy it is to really get around in the university. You know, how is it done? The portal and all, it's going to give us a kind of a walkthrough.
There's a basic enrollment fee to get into the system. Most of our courses are available are tracked and progressed through a student portal, online distance studies or correspondence study if necessary. We have seminar lectures, Skype seminar lectures, and hands-on training for people that can travel out to it. But the categories are in body work, plant medicine, Schrader plant medicine. It's in dark field microvideography. We have earth healing, the permaculture, and appropriate technology transfer. And then we have hands-on apothecary mastery program.
Now, this program is like nothing out there.
No,
this is big stuff. Yeah, there are two really big things to talk about tonight in terms of the university, and one the university and the other are, you know, what we're doing here in the clinic and what we want to spread around the country. But this apothecary training is an apprenticeship journeyman master program, and it has some elements that are simply amazing. Number one, competence. I don't think that you're going to get better competence in the herbal medicine, plant medicine, than the Nemenha program. And the reason we know this is that two of us who have worked together closely to put together the plant medicine curriculum, helping Dr. Joan
Schrader. Mm-hmm. We've been to the other colleges, including Dr. Schrader. And so we know what is insufficient in those curriculums.
Yeah, she went to two and was unsatisfied with what she learned.
Same as myself. I got the degree and had to go back to school because I was that unsatisfied with what I got. So we took our dissatisfaction and we said, okay, this is what we don't like about plant medicine as it's taught out there in the corporate culture.
Yeah.
And what do we need to do to change that? And Dr. Schrader has really put together a plant medicine curriculum that creates competence, true competence.
Yes.
96, only 2 hours?
It's an hour.
It's an hour. And then the, I don't know if I can do this in 90 seconds, we'll take this up in our next radio show, but it's true competence and an automatic residency created automatically, and finally, it pays you. Yeah. It is literally a college program that you get paid for. And it creates a system where by the time you have your degree, you already have your supplicant base. You have the community of people that you'll be dealing with throughout your career. So we're going to focus more on that in upcoming episodes of our radio show.
That and the addition of spirituality in natural healing in the Menhall, we don't separate the two. We put them hand in hand for every single sufferer, every single supplicant, every single client, every single patient comes through our door. We are restoring the sacred and natural healing. The true holism is disappearing in the modern corporate world. We have to make it, we have to make it the primary medicine. Holistic medicine, true holism, has to become primary, not alternative, or it's going to disappear. And that's the mission of the Nemenha.
Hey, and that's the mission of Nemenha Radio. We're going to talk about these things. This is our subject.
All right. Awesome.
Awesome. And we're done.
We will see everybody next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Menhall Radio on the withinsightsradio.com. Please join us. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we're out of here.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Iggy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. All right.